Episode number 35 of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website, firstrow.ca, and use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu, definitely the best boil and bite mouthguard I've ever had. Head on over to their website, it's sisuguard.com, and use the promo code FNP10 for 10% off your order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, recorded in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, it's time for the Fight Night Picks podcast with your host, Craig Allen.
All right, it is Thursday, August 16th. Episode number 35 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I've got a lot of great interviews. We're doing a Bellator 204 preview show, so let's get into it. All right, episode number 35 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. So today, in combination with the YouTube content, we're going to have a Bellator 204 preview show. I have four really great guests for you. We've got ABF and WBC Women's Featherweight Champ, Heather Hardy, coming on the podcast. So she's 3-1 in Bellator. We ask her, you know, whether or not she could end up fighting in a cage or a ring next. Who knows? And if you've never followed Heather's story, I mean, it's a really interesting one. She got into boxing at a later age, started competing as a pro in 2012, and she's since won four major boxing titles. And she's, you know, like I said, gone on to a 3-1 record, beating Anna Houlihan earlier this year. And Houlihan actually retired after that fight. She was a former professional boxer as well. So great stuff from Heather. We're also joined by two-division Bama champ Terry Brazier, who just recently signed with Bellator as part of their European expansion, if you will, one of those 24 UK or Ireland-based fighters. So we're going to talk to Terry about how he got into MMA, because his story is also pretty unique, and when we could possibly see him competing again for Bellator. And then we're also joined by Bellator's own Andy Nesbitt. You've heard him on the podcast before. He was making his video debut with us today. So Andy and I are going to talk about Bellator 204, the welterweight Grand Prix coming up, the heavyweight Grand Prix that's still going on. There's so many interesting things going on with Bellator. And then lastly, we were joined on the phone by Logan Storley, who's competing on Friday at Bellator 204 against AJ Matthews. So I had to ask him what it's been like training at Hard Knocks 365 with Henry Hooft. You know, Logan had a great career as a collegiate wrestler, very well decorated, and he's taken on a tough striker in Matthews at 204, and it's probably his toughest test to date. So really great to have everyone on the podcast. So many great guests. So we're going to start the episode off with the interview with Heather Hardy. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Heather, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. You know, your first pro boxing fight was in 2012. So what's it like, you know, winning two major titles in the span of 6 years like that?
I actually won four.
Four?
Four. But it's some days I look back and I can't believe where my life was. You know, like I made my pro debut in August of 2012 and I was homeless at the time. And now I've come so far, different life, you know. So it's humbling to look back at it, but also really inspiring to see what can I do in the next 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like you said, you know, you're late getting into boxing. I mean, what was it like stepping into Gleason's gym on the first day?
I was really intimidating because I was coming from like a little tiny karate school and I just knew I needed to start over. I needed something new and I was super intimidated. But, you know, I had my first fight 3 weeks after walking through that door and I actually lost it, but I lost my first two amateur fights. But, you know, the process had started.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, so you started in boxing, you said you were at a small karate gym, then right into Gleason's. What was it like making the transition from boxing over into MMA, and how'd you end up with Bellator?
Funny, right? Bellator, I had a few sponsorships from boxing, right? Like, I had gotten about as popular as a female boxer could get at the time. You know, I won, my first bout was televised when we did the NBC fight, me and Vincent. That was the night that Clarissa Shields won her second gold medal. So as I was like in the prime of my boxing career, Clarissa was just starting to turn pro and really started firing things up. But I say that to say this, during that time, things were good for me, but awful for women's boxing. And I just wasn't seeing any promise of it getting better. You know,
yeah.
These Olympians are so young and I'm 36. I don't have a whole bunch of time to do this. So when I was approached by Bellator, because they did the show at Madison Square Garden, and it was kind of like, hey, you want to do it? I was like, okay. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and you've been fortunate. I mean, a lot of your boxing fights have been able to take place in New York as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask me that, like, why do you only fight New York? And what is this? Is in order for me to get fights, I had to guarantee I would sell tickets. So, like, for every fight I had, it was like, I'll sell 10 grand in tickets, right? And I would sell 15 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand. I think my most was $40,000. And I mean, I have tickets in my hand that I go out and sell to people and then bring back the money, right? Like, it's that kind of selling tickets. So I was signed to a local promoter who was like, well, you're a short-term investment. You can pay for your way for the shows, then you can do them. So I kind of had to fight New York in order to fight at all.
And I mean, as far as MMA training is concerned, I mean, going from boxing, what's been the most difficult martial art to learn outside of boxing?
Actually, I really enjoy learning everything. The most difficult part is putting them together, if I'm honest. Like, jiu-jitsu is hard, but I enjoy it. Muay Thai, kickboxing, hard, but I enjoy it. It's when I have to put all of them together because I'm like an old dog, so to speak, you know, like so ingrained with my boxing habits, trying to break those and incorporate everything into a fight game is like super challenging.
Yeah, it would have to be really difficult. And I mean, so far in 2018, you've had a fight in Bellator that you won. You won the NABF featherweight title in boxing. When will we see you in a ring or a cage next? Can you give us any indication?
Well, I will say it's going to happen October, November. We're, okay, like, kind of flip-flopping between what's going to happen. Is it going to be boxing or MMA? I'm going to be ready for whatever it is. But I can't say because I don't have a contract yet. So any day it could change, you know?
Awesome. Well, that sounds good. Thanks so much, Heather, for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we can have you back on again before your next fight. And where can the fans find you online? And if you have any sponsors, let us know.
Sure, you can find me at on Twitter at Heather Hardy Box, or you can find me on Instagram at Heather the Heat, Facebook, I'm Heather Hardy. And I'm currently only sponsored by Adidas Boxing Gloves right now.
Awesome having Heather on the podcast. You know, it's crazy. She's won 4 major boxing championships since she became a pro in 2012, and she's still currently 2 division champ in boxing. So hopefully we can see her back in the ringer in a cage. You know, 3-1 in Bellator. She's also 21-0 with 1 no contest in boxing. So something special there. So my next guest is also a 2-division champ with Bama, and he just recently signed with Bellator as, you know, their kind of European invasion with all the fighters that they just signed. So Terry Brazier is going to join us. He's going to talk about when we could possibly see him back in the cage and what it was like going from Bama into Bellator. So here's right. Terry.
You're the first champ to ever come on the podcast. So, I mean, what was it like jumping down to lightweight and beating Rice McKee in June?
Yeah, it was good, man. Nothing we didn't expect. It's something that I wanted to do for a while. My coach, Dean Amazinger, obviously, you know, he cuts weight for some of the best fighters in the world, including myself. And he's been holding me back at welterweight for a while. You know, I should be able to finish people at welterweight pretty easy, you know, if I'm expecting to go the distance. now just seems to be the right time. There's no one left in the welterweight division. So I dropped down to lightweight and, yeah, beat Reese. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, and I mean, you got the win, so lightweight champ, welterweight champ. And I wanted to ask you before we really get into it, how'd you get into MMA? Because, I mean, it seems like it was a bit of a late start for you.
Yeah. So I was in the army. I was a paratrooper. I got discharged from the army for having PTSD after a tour of Afghanistan. And basically, I was suicidal, to be honest with you. I walked into a gym in Windsor looking to sort of release some anger. Had an inter-club fight after being there 4 days, and had a battle with a kid that had been doing it 7 years. So on the way out of the cage, Dean Amazinger was like, stick around, man. You know, I can't teach that. I can teach you the skills. So ever since then, I've been trained every day and just built myself up from there, really. That's so, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, when you fought in June, that was your first fight at lightweight, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
First one. So, I mean, was it hard to make weight going down from welterweight?
It was surprisingly easy, to be honest with you, because I started off my career at light heavyweight, believe it or not. I used to fight light heavyweight, but I used to walk around at like 91 kilos. I never used to put the pressure on myself to make weight or anything like that. As the caliber of my fighters got better, obviously I dropped down to the weight categories. I made welterweight so many times easily that, you know, I was eating ice cream fight week. Like, I knew what I could and couldn't get away with. But this one, I was super strict, stuck to Dean's plan, to the word. And I had my other MMA coach, Eric Luresk, head coach of Phuket Top Team. He comes over and lives with me before my fights. So, you know, having him in the house, making sure that I'm not cheating, definitely helped. And yeah, easy. We cut like 1.5 pound of water.
And then you decided to just kind of drop the mic and leave the titles in BAM and sign with Bellator. I mean, what was that like? How'd that deal come about?
So basically, my contract was already up with Bellator, Bama. Bama's cool. They looked after me. I just felt like I'd outgrown it. Do you know what I mean? I could have stayed there. But, you know, I'm, like you say, you know, I'm a late starter. I'm 31 now, and I needed to make some moves. And, you know, I don't tend to hang around in Bellator and Evo. I want that title next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever they frighten me next, I'm going to make a statement. I want someone in the top five, and by the end of next year, I'm going to be the Bellator champion.
Do you know when you're going to make your Bellator debut?
No, I don't know. just staying ready, just nurturing a few niggles that I had and things like that. I've been told by the end of the year, so cool. But, you know, once they see me fight and put on a good show, then, you know, it speaks for itself, doesn't it? You know, they're going to want to see me. Everyone's going to want to see me fight again. And I'm going to make some noise next year.
And I mean, I see in your Twitter bio and from what you've said in this interview, so I'm assuming the Bellator contract's a lightweight contract, eh?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. But saying that, you know, they've signed a lot of people from Ireland and England, and you've got a few welterweights gobbing off. So listen, if I've got to go back up and silence some big mouths, then, you know, I'm happy to do that too.
Well, I mean, it's good. It's good that, you know, you've got the DAZN deal with Bellator, which is already a big deal for you guys over there. They've got the NFL here in Canada, and then in the States, it's going to be an expansion. So really want to thank you, Terry, for coming on the podcast, keep it nice and short, and really look forward to that Bellator debut. So where can the fans find you? And if you have any sponsors to shout out, let me know.
I'm Terry Brazier on all my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Email me, do what you like, send a pigeon, I'm good. you know, I've got some great sponsors. Ebrit Services, one of my big sponsors. Jim Deli, they're the people that get me in shape and bring me down to weight. Sam Horse, the Osteopath. Eric Uresh Grappling, that's what it's all about. Listen, I've got hundreds of people around me, great people. You know, it's all over my social media and on my banner, so look out for it.
Awesome, man. Well, before your next fight, we'll have to have you back on again.
Awesome. Thank you. Cheers.
Awesome having Terry coming on the episode. Really appreciate it. You know, two-division champ in Bama. He's been starching opponents, and actually he had a really good decision win over Reese McKee there recently at Bama Fight Night London. So able to win the title in front of his hometown crowd and then decided to go with Bellator. I mean, it's a great opportunity for him, and hopefully we can see him fight either later on this year, kind of as he alluded to it there, maybe early next year. But that lightweight division in Bellator, really stacked. I mean, Michael Chandler wants his belt back. Brandon Gertz doesn't want to give it back. You might have Eddie Alvarez going there. I mean, it's stacked in the UFC, but it's also stacked in Bellator. So, like I said, great having Terry on. I'd like to thank our sponsors, First Row Collectibles. Head on over to their website. It's firstrow.ca. I'm on there right now. I'm looking at a Bray Wyatt autographed Topps card. There's an Aaron Judge rookie card. You know, you've got hockey cards, baseball cards, old episodes of Sports Illustrated, a Bret Hart autograph card. The list goes on. MMA autograph. So head on over to their website, firstrow.ca. Use the promo code FNP. You'll get free shipping on your order. And, you know, they're located in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. So we had owner Curtis Housen on the podcast quite a number of weeks ago. We broke down, it was interesting, we broke down some of the crossover between WWE and UFC, and it'll be even more interesting to see what happens with Brock Lesnar if there's a crossover fight with Daniel Cormier. So, First Row Collectibles, use the promo code FNP for free shipping on your order today. We're also brought to you by Sisu Mouthguards. I mean, I've had a Sisu Mouthguard for a number of years. One game of hockey, I didn't wear my mouthguard. I get hit right in the tooth, and it came out. And it cost me a lot of money out of pocket, and it was a pain. And I should have been wearing my mouthguard. And with Sisu, I mean, they're thin mouthguards. They're boil and bite, but they're a lot thinner than, you know, your average mouthguard. If somebody were to wear one in the UFC, they used to have a former big-name UFC fighter that was one of their affiliates. But if you were to wear one in the UFC, you'd be able to talk to your corner people. You'd be able to take interviews after the fight without popping your mouthguard out. You could eat, drink with it in. For me in hockey, it was definitely special because I could yell across the ice for a pass. You could understand me on the bench.
And Sisu's recently partnered up with Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, which is a national childhood cancer research foundation. A sale, or a bit of the proceeds from every sale, 10% will go towards Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation on all yellow mouth guards in the Aero and Junior styles. So you can still head over to Sisu, use the promo code FNP10 at checkout for 10% off. And they'll be donating 10% of the proceeds to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. My next guest is Andy Nesbitt. If you're new to Fight Night Picks, we've had him on the podcast before. It's always great having him on. We're going to do a Bellator 204 preview. We're also going to talk about some of the events coming up later on this year in Bellator. You've got the Welterweight Grand Prix. You've still got the Heavyweight Grand Prix going on. And there's so much going on with Bellator. So here's Andy.
Andy, well, thanks so much for coming back on the podcast. I mean, this is your video debut. What have you been up to since the last time we spoke?
I had a nice little vacation up in Seattle. Just been enjoying the summertime as we get ready for these fight seasons to really pick up. Since June, it's been a little bit quiet, but that's about to change this weekend, and then of course September, and then October when we got huge cards.
Is there even a heavyweight Grand Prix still going on?
I know, right? It feels like forever, but it's going on, and it's going to happen on back-to-back nights, the semifinals in October. Back-to-back nights, which is awesome, and you know, the first one, Bader Mitrione in Connecticut, and then the next one, Fedor and Sonnen in Long Island. So I'm looking forward to going to both of those. Just cruise from Connecticut down to Long Island and see two nights in a row of fights. It's going to be great.
That should be awesome. And I see today they announced Roy Nelson's taking on Sergey Karatanov the first night. So that should be good, too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. These Bellator fights coming up are going to be pretty great.
So, I mean, the last time we spoke, you know, there was an announcement that there was going to be a welterweight Grand Prix. We didn't know any of the participants. What fights in that Grand Prix are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, come on, MVP Paul Daly, first off.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Hey, that's going to be unbelievable. Those guys, they don't care for each other all that much. MVP is who he is in the ring, and I can't wait to see him put on his show. Of course, Paul Daly, he's got a little bit of a personality too, so that should be fun. But Ed Ruth is one of my favorite guys that I've met in this fight game. I talked to him for the first time, was back in June before his fights, and he couldn't have been more down to earth, more focused on what he wants to do, and he was dying to get into this thing, and I was psyched to see his name get in there. And Ed Ruth is a name I'll be watching in this and then also moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. He was on the MMA Hour earlier on this week, and they had nothing but great things to say about him outside of the cage or outside of the wrestling mat. I mean, he seems to be a really great guy. I thought it was a tough matchup against Neiman Gracie, putting him up against a guy like that, but a lot of people are picking Ruth to win that fight, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Ruth's a three-time national champ in wrestling at Penn State. He can take it to the ground and be successful, so that could be a fun fight to watch. And yeah, if you've never checked out his Instagram account, he's got this thing where he walks on his hands. And he walks on his hands from his apartment outside down the stairs and into the parking lot the whole time. Jeez. And I said, how do you learn how to do that? And he goes, well, when I was a kid, he's like, I just thought everybody walked on their hands. He said so nonchalantly. But he's an athletic guy and a young kid who's ready to make some waves. So I'm looking forward to that one. But all the fights in that Grand Prix are going to be fun.
I mean, they should be good. I was looking forward to, and I am looking forward to, the alternate fight with Lorenz Larkin and Amosov. I mean, I was really surprised when you guys signed Amosov, went up against Gerald Harris. That's a pretty tough test. And he was able to get the win. And I mean, for Larkin, I mean, I've heard he wants to fight a lot in Bellator. So that's why he took this fight. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. That one's great, too. These Grand Prix are a lot of fun, and I can't wait for these fights to get going.
Now,
they're all five rounders.
Yeah.
You know, and McDonald's belt's right on the, going to be up for his first fight with John Fitch. So, man, it's going to be quite a show.
Well, the one thing that I heard, and it was again on the MMA Hour, Scott Coker was talking about it. Are some of these, you know, first fights in the Grand Prix, are they going to take place next year, the start of 2019, or do you know?
I know there's only one date, the first one, right?
Yeah.
And, with nothing being announced for those two October cards yet, it might bleed into next year, but I'm not sure. I don't know for sure.
So, I mean, we've got all that different stuff to look forward to. You get the September 29th card in San Jose. That should be a big deal. You're going to be there, I assume, eh?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm looking forward to it. Great fights. And also, they just added Aaron Pico to that card last week. I can't wait for that one. He's a real deal, that kid, and he's going to have a tough test, but I've never met a more down-to-earth kid than him and his father. I met them at his last fights, and he really gets this whole business.
Yeah, I mean, that Higo fight, that's a tough matchup for him to take on.
Yeah, and he's been looking for something like this, right? To kind of, you know, test the waters a little bit and show himself a little bit more to Bellator, and he wants to take those steps to get title fights, and this is the way you got to do it.
Yeah, 100%. And you talk about title fights. I mean, this weekend we've got Bellator 204. Darren Caldwell stepping up a weight class, not fighting for the belt.
Yeah.
And then James Gallagher making his return, dropping down a weight class, and you know, another tough test there.
Yeah, Gallagher, I'm really looking forward to seeing. Of course, he's one of Conor McGregor's guys from Ireland. He hasn't fought since, what, June 2017?
Yeah.
He had a knee injury, and then he had a hand injury that kept him out of two fights. One in Dublin he was supposed to fight in, which he was going to headline, which must have broke his heart.
Yeah.
If you follow him at all on Instagram and Twitter, you know he's a very confident kid. And
I mean, hey, I had a back and forth with him on Twitter and wrote an article about him, because he said no matter what happens, I mean, I guess if he wins this weekend or this on Friday, title shot at either 135 or 145. Now, whether or not that's true and it's just James Gallagher saying that, I don't know, but it seems likely.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, if he wins this weekend, the star power is behind him, and he knows how to play this game pretty well outside and inside the cage, so we'll see. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what he has in him. It's been a long time since we've seen him fight, and I just hope he stays healthy the next few days and everything works out. We get to see this fight Friday night, because it will be a good one.
It should be good. Another one that's on my radar, and the guest I'm going to have on just after you, we've got Logan Storley. I'm really looking forward to that fight, too, against A.J. Matthews. I mean, he's been fighting for a long time, fought in Strikeforce, and he's taking on a tough kid who's looking to put on a show in front of his home crowd.
Yeah, Logan's a great fighter. He's 8-0 with 6 knockouts, so he brings it, and this is a big opportunity for him to make a big step for himself.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much Bellator, you know, news, fights, everything going on. I mean, you guys seem to be super busy, and I really appreciate you coming back on the podcast, Andy. So where can the fans find you online?
Find me on Twitter, A. Nesbitt, A-N-E-Z-B-I-T-T, on Instagram, Andy Nesbitt, and go check out on Bellator's Twitter and Instagram my fun thing I did with fans talking about Fedor. I think you guys will like it.
Awesome, Andy. Thanks so much for coming back on.
Anytime, Greg. Thank you for
having me. Great to have Andy back on the podcast. I mean, if you're just new to the podcast and you've never listened, whether it was on iTunes or Stitcher, now that we're on YouTube, Andy used to be the host of The Buzzer with Fox, and I've had him on as a guest on the podcast a number of times, so it's great to have him back on. Really looking forward to some great things from Bellator, and especially this Friday night where you've got Bellator 204. So, fighting on that card, we've got Logan Storley. He's taking on A.J. Matthews. So here's my conversation with
Logan. I mean, you're taking on a guy, A.J. Matthews. He's been involved with Bellator since 2011. I mean, fighting a guy with that much experience, you know, what do you have to do to set the tone from the start of the fight?
The biggest thing is just going out there and, you know, making him understand that I can strike with you. You know, if I need to strike with you, I can strike with you. And he knows that I can take him down. He knows that it's going to be hard to get away, and it'll be a long night for him if he's stuck down there.
And
so,
I mean,
biggest thing is just making him understand is that if I have to stand and trade with you, I can.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, as far as your training camp goes, are you still down in Florida?
Yeah, I'm still down in Florida. I'm with the best team in the world and have some of the best coaches and training partners in the world. So I'm confident with where everything is at, how the training's been, and I know what I have to do to get the W.
Who are some of the training partners that you bring in to try and replicate his style?
We have a lot of kickboxers. We have a lot of kickboxers from all over the world, and then we have a lot of guys in the gym who can replicate, you know, a certain style. And we all help each other out. When someone has an upcoming fight, that's against a wrestler or whatever, you know, I help those guys. And we got lots of strikers, and, you know, Henry Hoopt and Tommy Barzini and Greg Jones put together a plan, and we listen to those guys and know what they're doing, and you know, we just follow their lead, and good things have happened.
Awesome. And I mean, lastly, what can the fans expect when you go home to South Dakota next week for Bellator 204?
You know, I hope they get to see a great show and get to see me walk out of there victorious, you know, and get another win and just put them more on the map of that it's an up-and-coming state for MMA fighters. You know, the wrestling roots are deep in South Dakota, We have a lot of wrestlers. We have a lot of tough guys. Just a tough blue collar state. And so there's lots of prospects there who are up and coming, and MMA is continuing to grow. And with the resurgence of, they're putting wrestling more on the map again. And so, you know, South Dakota's got some good things going in the wrestling and MMA world.
Great to have Logan on the podcast. Make sure you check out the article that I wrote about our conversation. But he's one of the best wrestlers in MMA, regardless of weight class or promotion. He's one of those special talents. And like Andy said, a lot of knockouts on his record where he's sitting at 8-0. So if you're going to catch Bellator 204, it's on at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can catch that on the Paramount Network. The prelims are going to be live on Bellator's app as well as their website, so you can catch them there. Just going down through the main card, I mean, you've got a super prospect in Taiwan Claxton sitting at 2-0, and he's taking on 4-1 Chris Lencioni. And I mean, Claxton, if you haven't ever seen him before, Google Taiwan Claxton's flying knee knockout. It's insane. Both of those two pro wins are by knockout. So that's a featherweight matchup that you should really be looking at. Like Andy and I said, James Gallagher taking on Ricky Bandejas. That's a tough fight for Gallagher. Sitting at 7-0, plenty of submissions on his record. He's going to look to take the fight to the ground, but he's a super prospect, and I would even say he's already a star with some of the guests I've had on the podcast and I've dealt with over the past month or so. James Gallagher is, you know, one of those top talents, and like I said with Andy, we had a bit of a back and forth, James and I, on Twitter, and it came out that with a win over Bandejas this week, he could be getting a title shot at either 135 or 145. So that's a fight that you should be, you know, gluing your eyeballs to the TV and watching that one. You've also got a welterweight contest with my guest Logan Storley, looking to remain unbeaten in front of his South Dakota fans, taking on a proven veteran in AJ Matthews, sitting at 9-7. And like Logan said, he's willing to stand and strike with Matthews, who's known to be a striker. So that's going to be a great co-main event. And then in your main event, I questioned it initially in my article about Bellator 204, but Darren Caldwell, you know, he says he's finished with the 135 division. If he wants to make a name for himself, he's got to move up to featherweight, and he was a super college wrestler. So 11-1 bantamweight champ Darren Caldwell taking on a proven vet, Noad Lahat, who used to fight in the UFC, sitting at 12-3. So it's a great main event. It's a great card all the way down through, and I really think that the fans in South Dakota are going to be impressed. So that just about does us for our Bellator 204 preview show. I hope you really appreciate the guests that I had on. Make sure to leave comments and subscribe right there if you don't mind. And we'll be back again next week. I've got a couple of really great guests lined up, and I think you're really going to enjoy them. So I'll be live tweeting during the event. Hopefully you're watching it, and we'll see you again next week.